So whenever you're feeling it, Jim.
Well, then I'll get back to you in 3 hours. Are you kidding me? It's the morning. Yeah. You want me to feel it? You're becoming my bestie, Warren. It's another special episode of Inside Curling, which we've been doing lots of. And today is a special guest that we have on. Well, I'll tell you about it in a second. Kevin, welcome to the program, World Curling Hall of Famer. How are
Thanks,
you?
Thanks, Jim. Doing really good. Yeah.
Thank you. Between the three of us, Kevin, you and I are the nice guys. I still quiver when I see that message from it's Warren, right? And I call him back and he goes, "Hello, Jim." Oh man, what'd they do?
It's like a phobia from years ago. Oh, I know, what did I do wrong?
I just break out in hives, man, okay? It just kills me. Welcome to this special show. We want to acknowledge all of you, the good listener, for joining us, as you do each and every week. We got a lot of shows left, too, for before we call it a season. We want to acknowledge all our sponsors, Jackpot City, Coyote Tractor, and Goldline. On our weekly show, Coyote Tractor brings you hot rock topics, and it's lively. It's lively. If you have work to do, Coyote has the tractors, the UTVs, the ZTRs, and compact construction equipment to do it. Coyote, we dig dirt. Special show, we got an interview. Goldline brings us the most popular segment of our program, In the House, which is our guest spot, as I said. And today we're going to bring you a special interview with the reigning world mixed doubles champion, Rasmus Rana. And you're going, wait a minute, what do you mean world mixed? That's the same guy that won 5 gold medals. 4 in a row. The only non-Canadian team he was part of it, Kevin, in 2017 when they won 3 slams. Nickadine, of course, is the captain, the skip. Rasmus is, I'm talking about Rasmus Warana, who is also in the World Curling Hall of Fame. He's only 29, okay? And then his sister, Isabella, teamed up to win the world mixed doubles. I didn't realize this guest segment, just to rip off your awards, is going to take 15 minutes. Okay. So, there's Rasmus before you join us, and there's your sister Isabella, who you knocked this out with this week, the world mixed. Your dad, Mats, is a coach. Your sister is in the Swedish Curling Hall of Fame. What do you guys do? Throw rocks around the dinner table or what? How do you guys? Welcome to the program, man. Come on in. There you are. Welcome. The door's open. Congratulations on your recent win and the unbelievable success you've had at such a young age.
Thank you.
Let's certainly talk about that. Your sister's a few years younger. Mm-hmm. Before we get to the mixed doubles. Were you guys throwing rocks when you were in diapers or what? I mean, how far back does it go?
Yeah, like almost, I guess. I guess we like started practicing just before we turned 10, but we were always in the curling rink watching our dad and stuff when he played when we were young.
So, yeah.
Yeah, been watching curling since we were young.
Yeah, fantastic. I suspect you're curling full time. I'm sure you're not squeezing in anything else. But when you're not curling, what are you doing?
A little bit of everything. Some working out. I play some other sports on the side, just a little bit. I play some video games as well. So I like games in general, I would say.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What other sports are you playing?
We play some disc golf usually in the summer. And I used to play regular golf as well, but I almost don't do that anymore. But I sometimes play some pool and some paddle and different stuff, just mostly for fun.
You said a couple of sports. You just banged off 5 different ones that you're doing. Okay, so yeah. Congratulations on the most recent win. What a cool thing that you won the world mix with your sister Isabella.
Yeah.
Talk about it. It must be the coolest thing ever for you.
Yeah, it's like 10 years ago, I wouldn't have dreamed of having 2 world championships in 1 year, even one. So, yeah, it feels amazing.
Yeah, good for you. Kev, over to you. with no sister that ever helped you.
Well, I shouldn't say they didn't help me, but not to a world championship in curling, no. But congratulations first, and thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Where do I start? Well, let's start at, it's pretty unique what you guys, and by you guys, I have to include Oscar in it, because he won a world mixed doubles as well. I believe he won with Anna, correct?
Yep. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. A few years ago, a year that he also won a world championship as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's only the two of you that have done that before. I guess how much time do you spend on? You can't spend much time on mixed doubles. You're so darn busy traveling the world with Team Adin. But how much time do you and Isabella have to practice so that you can get good enough to win a world championship?
I wouldn't say that we practice mixed doubles a lot. We have actually played for a long time since we were juniors, me and Isabella. So I guess through the years, we've gotten a lot of experience of it, but we haven't played like a lot in one single season. It's usually one or two competitions per season, maybe something like that. So, it's still curling. So
playing with your sister. Like, I've got two sisters on my own, and there could be some fireworks once in a while, at least with us.
Yeah.
How's it work with you guys? Can you keep it, that part separate, like the brother-sister part and just the curling part? Or maybe it's an advantage? What do you think about having it be a family member as a partner?
Nowadays, I think it's an advantage. Like I said before, we played for a long time, and when we were juniors, we did not always get so well along. I think we've just come to the stage. We played with each other for so long, and we've also set some rules, or not rules, but boundaries where what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And it's working great now because we're with very similar minded in our curling thinking. And a lot of the time we don't even have to communicate that much because we both know what we're going to do.
Yeah, that was my next point. When it comes to a family member, you probably think a lot alike. And she skips on her team. So does she kind of carry that part? And you obviously carry the sweeping part.
Mm-hmm.
Between that, I want to hear about that communication with her being a skip, you being the sweeper, but also the importance of how often you guys do a hard clean to save energy and the importance of that in mixed doubles.
Yeah. So I would say that she does skip, and she calls the shots always. And then sometimes if I would think that I like another shot more, then we have no problem to change that as well. So we're both fairly good strategically and tactically. So I think we complement each other perfectly there. The heavy cleaning, as you say, it saves a lot of energy, and it's pretty nice to do. And sometimes I almost have the feeling that it gives more than regular sweeping as well. So
before I let Warren in, I just want to go a little deeper into this, the heavy clean. So it's something that I try to teach it at my curling academies.
Mm-hmm.
But how far down the sheet do you generally heavy clean before you'll start to sweep, I guess, in a conventional way where you're moving the broom across the face of the rock? How far do you go? Is there a kind of a rule of thumb for that? Or does it depend on the shot?
For me, it depends a lot on the shot, like what speed we're playing. If we're playing a softer shot, then I will start to move the broom a little bit sooner. If we're playing a back 12 weight or more, then I'll probably do it even to the second hog line. Because the rock still holds speed.
You're going to do it right to the breaking point kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah. I guess it's more of a feeling that the rock is going too slow, so you need to add some movement to it.
Awesome. Thank you. Warren, go ahead.
Thanks for joining us, Rasmus, and again, congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's stay in the brushing thing for a moment, since that's where we left it with Kevin. You're one of the best brushers in the world and one of the best four-person curling teams in the world. A lot of talk again this year about brushing rules, what should be happening, when shouldn't be. What's your opinion? Do you think the whole aspect of brushing rules and how it's being done is okay the way it is, or do you think there's need for some more investigation, research, whatever?
I think it's always good if you can do as much research as possible. If not, I'm very interested to see what it would give or what it would say. But I think, in my own feeling, that curling is in a pretty good spot right now. I feel with the pads we have now, you can do some with them, but not too much. You're not doing nothing. You're not doing too much. I think it's where it should be for curling to be what curling should be.
Okay, so you think that the research should be good, but other than that, to find out more things, everything else is probably okay the way it is.
Yeah, in my own feeling, at least, it's so difficult subject because the brushing can have so different effects on different ice and everything, different rocks, and so it's difficult to say one thing is good for all, but. Yeah, I feel that curling is in a pretty good spot.
So let's talk about your four-person team. Now, this is, again, as Kevin has mentioned, pretty unique. Both you and Oscar Erickson have won World Men's Championships, multiple, but you've also both won World Mixed Doubles Championships, which is quite unusual, two of you on the same team. The Olympics are coming up. Mm-hmm. Last year, Oscar, in the 22 Olympics, won the bronze. So are you both going to enter the Olympic mixed doubles competition again this coming Olympics, or just going to stick with four-person? What's your plan?
Yeah, so I guess we're both going to try. We haven't really gotten any guidelines towards what would qualify a team. We're definitely both going to try to go there. And if I think it's a pretty good thing to have one player from the team doing the mixed doubles as well, because you can get some nice information for the rest of the tournament as well. You're playing on the same ice, and that can help a lot. So
you think last time having Oscar in there was beneficial to you guys?
Yeah, just that he can come in with a kind of a feeling of the arena, and he can share that with the team. So I think it's a good thing.
Let's talk about mixed doubles overall for a moment. Sweden, is the sport growing in Sweden? And if it isn't, what do you think could make mixed doubles more popular than it is? Personally, I think both Kevin and I think from an entertainment point of view, it's great, but it just doesn't seem to be gaining traction. What's happening in Sweden?
Like for mixed doubles, I'm not quite sure, actually, if I'm being honest. But for curling in general, I would say that the interest in media is increasing. For sure. But the amount of players we have haven't increased. It has decreased, if anything. So there's basically a lot of interest in the people that want to watch it. But not the same interest in the amount of people that want to play.
What do you think that might be, that you can't get new people interested in the sport? What needs to happen to change that?
Tough questions on Inside Curling this morning.
it's tough questions. No, it is a good question, and I might not be the right person to answer that. I guess getting people to the rink in the first place is a good place to start somehow. And then keeping them is also a problem. So,
do schools come to the local rink? Is that something that happens? Like here in Canada, at the Saville Center, for example, hundreds and hundreds of kids come from the local schools, anywhere within, 10 minutes of the Saville Center. Yep. They all come in for their phys ed classes, mm-hmm. and they all get kind of experienced in it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, a certain percent will come back at a later date going, hey, I really enjoyed that curling we did back in grade 7, grade 8, grade 9. Is that something that happens in Sweden? Do the kids come to the rink?
Yes, but it's not often. I would say, like not even once per year, probably. That depends, of course, from school to school. But I remember, for me, in my school, it was that I got a choice between five different sports or whatever. And we would have like kind of month where we would go one time per week or something. So we do have stuff like that, but maybe not enough.
So let's talk about you again. You're 29 years old, I believe. Is that correct?
Yep.
And you've done all this winning already. How long are you going to keep at this? Are you planning to go beyond the next Olympics? I'm wondering, maybe Nick might not because he's got so many injuries, but Oscar also is only 32. What do you see as the long-range plans for you guys?
I would love to keep going for as long as I'm good enough, I guess is my answer. I can't speak for the other guys in the team, but yeah. I enjoy it a lot, and as long as I'm feel that I'm good enough to still win, then I'll keep going.
How long, Rasmus? I don't want to embarrass myself here, but I always do, so I guess I don't care. How long has that team of yours now been together?
I came to the team 8 years ago, so this was my eighth season. And they were together a couple of years before that as well. But with this constellation, it's been 8 years.
Every year in Canada, we stop around a few weeks ago. The Olympics are coming up, so around this time. Canadian teams change guys all the time.
Yep.
They don't just change them. They kick them off. They boot them out. They don't. Maybe I can't speak for all of them, but something happens where they don't get along. But it's always commonplace at the end of a curling season or in the middle of a curling season, mm-hmm. where everyone's quick to pull the trigger,
yeah,
as we say, on their team. We don't see that with you guys in Sweden. Is there any talk along the way, these 8 or 9 years that you guys do it? And what's the whole mindset that maybe you're going, well, there's no option that we're going to change curlers here. We're staying together and we got to make it work.
Like as well, you guys have in Canada, you have so many players to pick from as well. And maybe they want to try something fresh as well if it hasn't worked out. It could have happened for us as well if we didn't feel that it worked. But it has worked quite well. So,
yes, it has.
Yeah, I'll say. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I think that is a big reason, actually. Like, if it wouldn't have worked at all, then probably we wouldn't have been staying together for 8 years as well. So,
and what is the plan with Nick? Does he have a day in mind, a year in mind? He's 40, like Warren pointed out. Do you guys sit down and go, okay, Nicky, we've won a few times without you. You know, we played three guys. Talk about that, what the long-term plan is.
Yeah, like we have not talked anything about that. I can't say anything for what Niklas is planning. I have no idea. So I'll let him take that answer with you guys sometime.
Okay.
Way to dodge. I love it.
And what about up-and-comers in Sweden? Rasmus, are there names of curlers that are coming behind you that are trying to take a run at you? What's it look like for new curlers coming out of Sweden?
I feel that we do get a few talents from the younger people of Sweden, and there's just the problem a little bit of economy. To being able to afford going out and playing a lot. And
right.
Also just, now my dog is starting to feel that I'm boring. No, but I think it's a big step to go from the junior to the senior level. Most of the big tournaments are in Canada, especially like the Grand Slams, of course. And to be able to come to that level first and foremost, and then also, if you get into the slams, to afford to go there as a young team, it's quite difficult, I can imagine. If you don't have funding in some way, it's pretty expensive to go there over to Canada in the Grand Slams for a young team, definitely. But there is good players coming up all the time, I feel like. It's a big step to go from late juniors to early seniors.
in Canada, we deal with Curling Canada. The talk always has been, we've been on the air now for a few years, if not longer. And one of the talks all the time is about players haven't been over time very well represented at the governing body here in Canada. Talk about over in Sweden how that works with your governing body.
Like, would your any of your team, Rasmus, have representation like at the board level? So when the Swedish curling gets together, do you guys sit, or your team, or Isabella's team, or Anna Hasselborg's team, would they have a seat at the table saying, hey guys, we'd like to see this happen in Swedish curling? You know, do you have that sort of a say?
We do have a say, and we probably could have more as well if we wanted. It's mostly the employees at the Swedish Curling Association that handle stuff like that. But definitely, like, we can say what we think. And usually the people working there, we know them pretty well. We can definitely bring a little bit from our own thoughts into what they do.
Good. Well, there's a ton of information between your team and Anna Hasselborg's team. Mm-hmm. And then now, of course, your sister's team coming up.
Yeah.
That's a lot of winning and a lot of knowledge that the association could draw from. It would be terrific.
Yeah, definitely. Dog coming in here again.
Perfect.
We could definitely share a lot of our, like, international experience, I think, in how tournaments should be well made, in what kind of qualification systems we think work, and everything that has to do with that. I think we could share a lot, actually, both of our teams and Bella's team as well.
Rasmus, before you go, I'm sure with how much you've won, it just keeps going on and on, and it's an unreal heater that you're on, as they say. So I suppose you're happy with every format that you've played in. There seems to be a bunch of different ones now, with pools and round robins and crossovers and all this stuff.
Yeah.
What about the game itself? You're the best in the world. Is there anything you'd like to see moving forward in the game itself, in terms of formats and schedules and 8 ends or 10 ends or whatever? Can you give us an idea of what you'd like to see maybe different?
Yeah, sure. I think that for championships, you could have 8 ends in the round robin and then move to 10 ends in the playoffs. I think that would be more healthier for the athletes, because right now Worlds, for example, is a very tough tournament to play. You basically play, eat, and sleep for a week. So I would love to see that. 8 ends in round robin would be my suggestion, if I could have one. Otherwise, I think the 5-rock rule is great. I think the no tick is pretty fun for the audience. And so that's the change that I would make myself.
Yeah. The national championships, the Brier, as you know, Warren's kind of always said these things are getting too long. It's like 12 days almost, you know, by the time you get there in practice. How do they do it in Sweden? How long? What's the format of your national championship?
So that would be 16 teams. And then I think it's a triple knockout into a double knockout or something like that. The last four or whatever teams play it out. I think it's quite a long championship that as well. But there would be more sessions per day, I think, than they have in Brier. It's a little bit more compact.
Is it over a week or 9 or 10 days or 4 or 5 days? How do you do it?
That would be over something like 5 days, I think.
We've had many, many people come in and tell us this is what you need to do to change the game. Okay. Well, rules and all that stuff. And we love it. I think you're onto something. You may be the first guy with that's a brilliant suggestion, between the 8 and 10 ends, where you said 8 ends for the round robin and go to 10 ends for the finals or the playoffs. And
yeah,
you're onto something, my friend. I think that's very good. Listen, why don't you run off and win another championship somewhere? Okay. Congratulations, Rasmus. We certainly appreciate you coming on. When you read your stats, it's like this guy must be 60 years old with all the stuff he's done, but you're not. So to you and your sister, most recently winning the World Mixed, congratulations and thanks a lot for coming on. And we'll be watching you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Rasmus. Good luck.
Thank you very much, Rasmus.
So there he goes, fellas. Good guy. Nice fella.
Yes, he is. Yep.
Hey, Kev.
Good player.
Kev, Warren. 8 ends for the round robin. 10 for the final. What do you think, Hansen?
Well, that would be great, I believe, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, and it's because of the commercial airtime that's around those extra 2 ends in the round robin that has an impact here in Canada, so don't hold your breath.
No, I'm running with it. I'm running with it. I'm going to... Kev, what do you think?
What a great discussion. Yeah, you know what? And they... You asked a great question with what other sports do you play? And, you know, I always talk to Nick about that. They do all kinds of things. And I think Rasmus, well, he named off 5 sports or whatever he plays on the side. So, yeah, they're just a whole, you know, just a kind of a unique team of really good athletes that have a common goal, wanting to win. And he's won everything already, and he just wants to win more, you know. So it's great. It's a really solid team as to what they believe in and what they want to do. And for that reason, they're really tough to beat, and they win a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Kev, explain to the our good listener and to me. That's how I blow it off, because I want an explanation. The good listener needs to know, Kevin. You as a skip, Kev, are you always worried that the other positions, seconds and thirds, that there's going to be a time when one of them comes forward and says, I want to be promoted. I want to go from second to third. I want to go from lead to second, or the third going, hey, Kev, I want to skip one day. Talk about that as the captain of a team.
I don't remember anybody, other than, of course, Ben Heber always wanting to skip, but that was all the time. But other than that, and I say that in jest, but right. I don't think I ever had a player that really wanted to do that, I don't think. Like, I moved Mark Kennedy to third because he got so darn good that it made sense. Right. So Mark threw third at the end when he threw second for most of the time we were together. But beyond that, we didn't do much of that, actually, to be honest. Walchuk started at second with us for a couple of months and went, I told Sean, I said, this is crazy. This guy is so good. So I moved him up to third before long, within a couple of months, actually, because Walchuk is just a special athlete too. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that happened. But Don didn't ask me to move from second to third. I just went, holy cow, this guy is too, he's got such a good touch. So right. Moved him to third, and away we went, and we had some great years together. So, yeah, there's not a lot of that, Jim, actually, less than one would think.
Right. Back in your day, Warren, was it always like tenuous at best? They're going, okay, well, let's see if someone's leaving the team or what heck's going to do.
You would see people moving slightly in positions, maybe from third to skip, and in some cases from skip to third. Seconds and thirds were somewhat interchangeable, but you didn't see anything really happen where people decided to go from lead to skip and be serious about it. Interesting, too, leads seem to be, for the most part, people who stuck in that position. They didn't sort of automatically move to seconds. Even in that time, it was a different game. In my day, the similarity was more between second and third that were somewhat interchangeable, and that was sort of where I sat. I played both positions. People usually wanted me playing second because I was a strong sweeper, and that's even happening today. You've got a number of those players like Gaunt, who's a second, but he's also a very strong sweeper, so he could very easily be just as probably good at third, but he stays at second because of his sweeping ability. So it was similar.
So there he goes. The guy is just crushing it, okay? Fair to say, Kev, Rasmus Rana is crushing it.
Well, 29 years old, Jim, remember?
Yeah.
Like he's a very, very young man still and winning so much. It's really remarkable.
Well, 29 years old, and you expect how long you've been together with the same team. You go, well, we just started last spring, you know, or something. Like 8 years, you know? 8 years. So This guy's been doing it a long time. That's our guest spot. We do it each and every week on our regular shows. It's brought to you by Goldline. Goldline Curling is proud to be the founding partner of United We Curl, a nonprofit focused on expanding diversity in curling. Learn more at unitedwecurl.com. Good discussion, fellas, once again. One of our sponsors on the weekly show is Jackpot City. They bring you what's happening around the curling world. Jackpot City casino games, perfectly made for you. Send us an email. Warren looks at all of them, mulls over them, picks them apart, responds. careful what you wish for, okay? When you send, you're not going to get away with a comment without Hanson weighing in. InsideCurling@gmail.com is where you email us. That's InsideCurling@gmail.com. And check out our Facebook page and our group. There's lots going on there. Boys, once again, Warren, you got me up early in the morning, but I'm getting used to it. Whereas he's looking at me, he's like, Jim, it was 10:30, pal. Take it easy, Warren. Take it easy, Kevin. And thanks a lot to you, the listener. And we'll be back later on this week with our regular edition of Inside Curling. See you, boys.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jim.